what dispensation and where we're really at. I believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming from glory and going to catch up his bride. How many knows that? I believe that with all my heart. But the thing that saddens me the most is the folks that's expecting to go and not going to get to go. I believe Brother Stark said, he said, "Be ye therefore ready." It says, "For you know not the hour that your Lord cometh." Now, it speaks of in the 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And all of a sudden, the message went forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Now, they were all expecting to go, but there was 5 of them had no oil. And after the other 5 went in that had some oil, they went out to try to find some oil, but when they came back, the door was shut. How many remembers that? Then we find over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." So the washing of the water by the word. Then it says in verse 27, "that he might present it to himself." Now listen to it. "A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish." I find people today, I've been to churches across the nation, and people that's sitting there and they don't have an ounce of holiness in them. They're not prepared. Some are, some's not. But they're all expecting to go. Huh? Now that saddens me because they can't go unless they're ready. Some will and some won't. But that kind of saddens me. And the moral standards of the church the last few years has went down, 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 down. More emotion and less living for God. It's not going to be emotionalism that's going to get us there. It's going to be actually being purified by the washing of the water, by the word, and he's going to present that church to himself, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Now, the oil, if I'm right, the oil represents the spirit. And if it don't have no spirit, no spirit. So I want to talk to you tonight about the spirit. Zechariah 4:6 said, "It is not by might or by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord." You might get you a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scriptures that I'm going to give you. I'll quote some of them and turn to some of them. But the first one I want you to get to is Luke 16:16. We preach from one of the greatest books of the prophets this morning, Isaiah 61. Isaiah was a great prophet. He prophesied of Christ, and he prophesied of the Spirit, the power. Now look what Luke chapter 16:16 said. Now, where are we at? This is what I want to get at. "The law and the prophets were." Now I want you to notice that word "were." "Were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man," what? "Presseth into it." Now, it's a pressing thing, church. It's not a sitting idle. It's we've got to press in to the things of God. Now, the law and the prophets were till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Well, what is the first thing that we're supposed to do? Matthew 6:33. Write that down. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be," what? "Added unto you." Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we want to go to another scripture here. It says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John was the last of the prophets. And he says, "There's one that's coming after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with" what? "With the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, we're living in a Holy Ghost time We're living in a time when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? And we're living in that time when Jesus ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, prayed the Father, and the Father sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to go back here to Luke, and we'll go over the next page. Now, Luke 16:16 said, the law and the prophets were to John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, then we go to Luke chapter 17, and verse 20, and verse 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You're not going to see it. How many know the Spirit moved here this morning? Did you see it? That was coming out of the kingdom of God. And listen to what he said in verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is, let's all say that, within you. Now here's what we need. We need the kingdom of God within us. So let's turn our Bibles now to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 right quick and find out what it is that we need in us. Romans 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not natural thing. But it is what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, John said there's one that's coming after me. He's going to baptize you with this Holy Ghost. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. I mean, he's getting that. The kingdom of God is not by observation. It is within you. The 17th chapter of the book of Luke says. So here we find that in Matthew 6:33 again says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is the kingdom of God now? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wasn't that what we was talking about this morning? Wasn't that what Isaiah felt? Wasn't that what Isaiah was preaching about? He was preaching about Christ. He was preaching about the Spirit. He was preaching about the power. He was preaching about the things that we need and the things that we have some of. But you see, we're going to have something that will make us ready. Now, what will the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost, when he has come, he's going to lead and guide you into what? All truth. John 8:32 said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, we're going to have to get free. I like that song, I'm free from the fears of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I'm free from all of the word. You don't know the truth, that word. Now, the Holy Ghost leads us into all truth, and the truth will make you free. So it's step by step. So we're right at the very last hours of time in the Holy Ghost dispensation. Remember, it fell 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem one day, and Peter preached, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men's going to dream dreams. Your young men's going to see visions. In other words, there's going to be a powerful thing. And here's another thing I'm sad to say, but there's a lot of folks that thinks they're working in gifts of the Spirit, that it's things that they're thinking that's coming out of their mouth. Just think about what's going on. People sitting praying for people in churches anymore and telling them how to speak in tongues. Repeat after me and you got the Holy Ghost. No, it's as the Spirit gives them utterance. There's so many people so deceived today, and that's what really hurts me inside, because they won't listen to the truth. They will not line up. They will not get washed by the water, by the word. They will not get the oil in their vessel. They will not come to the place where they know that they know that they know that they know that they're ready. Everybody here tonight, do you know that you know that you know that you're ready? You know what that is? That's faith in God. Faith. Faith knows. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6 said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somebody said, what else about faith? You heard me preach this off and on. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, if you believe like God says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given at that time, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But he's glorified now, and we look in the glass, and we change into the image from glory to glory. Come on. And he's coming after what kind of a church? A glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Come on, can you say amen? Can you see why I'm shook to the core trying to preach everywhere? I've preached all over, and I went to the place where you'd hold a revival where they'd have 20 to 50 people saved in a revival, and now they sit there, the same ones, stone-faced, and don't even get in the service. But you ask them, think you'll go when Jesus comes? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. That's not what it's a Christian. Well, remember those five foolish virgins professed to be Christians, I guess, didn't they? But they had no oil. See, we got to have the oil. So the oil represents the Holy Ghost, doesn't it, Brother Stark? The oil represents the Spirit. So if we have no Spirit, you just look at people in the church anymore and say, no Spirit. You know, those that's got the Spirit, they got the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. They've got a zeal in them, huh? They got something there that's burning deep down inside. There's something there that'll make them weep, and something there that'll make them shout, and something there they can get in and receive. Now, let's go into 1 Corinthians, and this is where I'm really preaching. This is just, I just got wound up there a while ago. I just quoted a few scriptures. Now, I want to get in to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's see how this Holy Ghost works. How does it work? Somebody said, I don't need it. Well, I think you do. The Bible says you do. It doesn't matter what I think. Now listen, I see people today that think they're working under gifts, that are not working under gifts. Some of it is their own mind. I've heard people prophesy out of the carnal mind. I've heard people speak in tongues from remembering repetition. I've heard people, you know, and I've seen people get in a contest who can prophesy the longest and who can shout the loudest, huh? But this is no competition. When we get done here tonight, we'll see where we're at. Let's look and see. Begin with verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Now we're talking about the Spirit, right? What we're supposed to have. We're in that dispensation. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's given for profit. Verse 8. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Now, I want you to notice, by the same Spirit. It's all by the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit. One gets wisdom and another gets knowledge, but it's the same Spirit. Now, how many knows that wisdom is the primary thing, so to speak? Wisdom is. Now, what does wisdom do? We have to have wisdom to handle the knowledge that God gives us. Wisdom is something that gauges and tells us how to handle what knowledge we got. So you can have a whole lot of knowledge without wisdom, and you don't have anything that operates. But to one is given the Spirit of wisdom, and to another is given the Spirit of knowledge, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. But how do they get that? By the what? The same Spirit. Let's use it where we can handle it with our minds. You know, like the power of God's moving the Holy Ghost, and say there was a cable to this one, and a cable to that one, and a cable to that one. And one is shooting out wisdom, and one's shooting out a knowledge, and the other's shooting out the other gifts. But it's all comes from what? Ain't a different Spirit, is it? Same Spirit. The same Holy Ghost that gives wisdom, the same Holy Ghost gives knowledge, the same Holy Ghost gives the gift of healing. It's the same, and we're going to go through this just a minute, and it's the same thing. So we are in a time when we need, if ever to the church needs to get filled with the Holy Ghost, it needs it now. Now let's look and see what it says. To another faith by the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. How many got that? Dividing to every man severally as who will? As he will. Whatever you get, whatever you seek. Seek and ye shall what? Find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. God will not withhold himself. He will give you what you purpose in your heart and whatever you will. He's putting everything into us that we'll have. How many got that? He's giving you everything that you will. So we have to have the perfect will. Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and what? Acceptable and perfect will of God. Proving what? The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many believes that it's God's will? Now, he so loved the world, John 3:16, and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Son then went through all this stuff and ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, prayed the Father, and he sent the Holy Ghost. Now, how many believes it's God's will that you be filled with the Holy Ghost? So you don't want the will of God? How many believes that God wants the gifts of the Spirit to work in this church? You don't want the Holy Ghost? How many believes that God wants healing to work in this church? The arm of the Lord is not shortened. We can pray for somebody in California and God can heal them. I've seen that happen dozens of times, I suppose. But it's all by the same Spirit. The law and the prophets, word of John, since that time what? The kingdom of God is preached. What is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. But what is it packaged in? Righteousness, peace, and joy in. Let's all say in the Holy Ghost. It's not out of the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. It's all by the same thing. The same Spirit, the self-same Spirit. And he does this as we will. Not as his. It's already, he's proved his will, but it's as we will. Severally as he will. Verse 12. For as the body is one, now I'm going to get something here, and hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, I want you to know that every one of you that's been born again, you're hooked up to us whether you like it or not. Huh? Whether you like the fellow that's sitting next to you or not, you're hooked up with him if you're born again. You just automatically, you become part of the body of Christ. So then I'm going to give you the awesome job of the ministry here tonight that maybe you never realized before. And listen to what it says. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're all baptized in the same body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but if the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. It says, whether one member suffers, we what? We all suffer. Let's all get that. Now, let's put the monkey on the pastor's back. He is supposed to be the bishop, the under-bishop of your soul. I'm looking out after your soul. I'm not here to play games. I'm looking out after soul. Now we get somebody that comes in church and they won't behave themselves. They won't yield to the Spirit. They rebel against everything. How many believes that that hurts the body? Does that hurt the body, Brother Stark? Then what is the pastor supposed to do? Is he supposed to just say, well, just remain and keep on hurting them? Keep on tearing it up? No, the pastor and the elders of the church has to cut that cancer out, or it'll get through the whole body. How many of you see the awesome responsibility of a pastor, a leader? And if they don't do it, then you're going to be infected. You're going to be infected. You're all of us. Everybody's going to be infected. And then I'm going to stand before God, and he's going to say, why didn't you do something? You knew what was the most important. You knew that this was going on, that whatever it was infecting the whole crowd. Somebody said, why do you keep a close watch on everything? I'm right on top of everything. I want to know what's going on. I'm responsible for your soul. I'll stand before God one day and be responsible. So I wanted you to see that, but in the Holy Ghost dispensation, we're all one body and we're all baptized into the kingdom of God. We're all members of one body. Now, let's come over here in about verse 24, and he begins to talk about these things, how these gifts work. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given the more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Now God has tempered the body together, and what does he say? He's given more honor to what? The member that what? That lacked. Now what do you think would be in a body the parts that might lack? Now he said, if the eye said it's not of the body, is it not of the body? If the ear? If the arm? Wouldn't it be? And you know, people can get out of order too. How would I look with an arm on the leg part here and this leg up here on my shoulder? That would be kind of bad, wouldn't it? So it has to all be in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. But everything that's done with the Holy Ghost is in decency and what? And in order. It's not out of order. It's in order. So wonder who is responsible for keeping it in order. Who do you say? Yeah, you're part of it. But the awesome responsibility still sits on the shoulder of the pastor and his assistants, which is in this church, the board. Awesome, isn't it? Well, smile at me or say something. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. The awesome responsibility. Through the 53 years of my ministry, I've stood with some of the most awful and awesome things that I had to make a decision, and I always have to make the decision like this. The Holy Ghost always leads me. Whichever is the least hurt. What is the least hurt? Is it one person, or do the whole crowd get hurt? Huh? That's an awesome responsibility. But you see, the Holy Ghost will lead and guide us. And the Holy Ghost, somebody said, well, how can you make decisions? I make decisions in Bible way that you wouldn't believe some of the decisions I have to make. And how do you keep on preaching? How does God keep on moving in your ministry like that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost in me. It's not me that's doing it. It's the Holy Ghost. It's not me that's doing this thing. It's the Holy Ghost. I have to realize, without Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, let's back to verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. I looked that up. It's the same thing as heresy. That there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, it's my duty then to teach you that you're supposed to have the same care of one another as I have care over you. You're all members of the body, ain't you? One member suffers, you all suffer. Huh? When one thing hurts, you all hurt. But that there be no schism in the body. No heresy. No division. That's what it means. That there be no division in the body. 1 Corinthians 1:10, that you be perfectly joined together in the same spirit and the same judgment, and that there be no division among you. If everybody in this church was filled with the Holy Ghost, we'd all see everything exactly alike. You'd see things like I do. I'll see things like you do. We're all filled with the Holy Ghost. One spirit. Romans 8:14 said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But you see, when we're divided, I don't see it that way. I think it order. I preached a whole message one time on people saying you order. How many have heard people say that? You order to do this, and you order to do that, and you order to do something else. See, you order really is a bad thing. We need to get it turned around. I order. Let's all start saying, I order. Not you order. I order. Point the finger at us. And here's the thing. If one person is doing wrong and everybody else is keeping the faith and keeping in the spirit, let me tell you something, you're still got the victory. And sometimes when you come to church, you feel little isms and schisms in the service, and you're wondering what that is and where it's at and all that. Don't worry about it. Just get in the service and worship God. And after a while, it'll melt down the spirit. It'll put that person to the altar, and they'll get the victory over this thing, rather than join them in their thinking and their ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Praise the Lord, I feel stirred up.
It's verse 26 right here. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Oh, now, wait a minute, now there's a good one. When one member is honored. I get in trouble for that about as much as anything. When I give honor to somebody, and somebody's sitting back there and saying, well, I ought to get the honor. I'm better than they are. What is that? Jealousy. And what is it that's more crueler than the grave? Jealous. Well, I'm jealous. They give him the honor and didn't give me the honor. Well, hang around. You keep doing good, they'll give you the honor. The Holy Ghost won't leave nobody out, and Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. So, jealousy is crueler than the what? That's the only thing in the Bible that I can find is more crueler than the grave, is jealousy. You know, and churches are full of jealousy. You just let anybody begin to get in and work for God, somebody's sitting back there and turns green with jealousy. You can have a young people's program many times, and they begin to really move with the young people, and somebody gets jealous. I ought to be doing that. Somebody gets the gifts of the Spirit working in them, and everybody gets jealous. I tell you, we can all work in the gifts of the Spirit if we get down to business. This message ain't just to you. This message is to lots of people. And probably be a whole lot of people hear this message, maybe thousands before it's over, because it's going on tape. Now, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Isn't that wonderful? See, I'm shouting that God just chose me to be a member. One day I was lost in sin. And from a child, I knew that I was going to have to do something for God one day because when I get around it, I'd feel it. I run things. I used all kinds of things to escape. But the Holy Ghost followed me wherever I went. I even left Kansas City and moved to St. Louis. I thought I could get away with it. Same Holy Ghost in St. Louis. And it seemed like God had members instructed just to knock on my door. Somebody to come by and say, do you go to church anywhere? One day, two ladies came by. I was sitting on the porch. They said, do you go to church anymore? And I almost started crying. Something about the Spirit. That night, I went up and walked around the church where they said they were from. Within a week's time, I was in that church. I got down on one morning and got glorious or saved in that old apartment building, and I was up there working in and staying there. And I throwed my beer cans away that morning. I throwed about a pint of Jim Beam whiskey away. I throwed a whole bunch of Lucky Strikes away. I cleaned out. You know, it hasn't bothered me. You know, God, that's the gift of the Spirit. The Spirit moved. The Spirit moved upon the waters of my soul. You know, I was like the earth. I was without form and void. And darkness was upon my face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And he sent the light. And I saw the light. Hank Williams said, I saw the light. And I saw the light. Come on. And you saw the light. When you got saved, you saw the light. You saw something new. You saw something else. And no longer was darkness. In his song, he said, no more darkness, no more night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Now, it says here in verse 28, and God has set some in the church. First apostle. Now, he's got an order in this thing. First apostle. Secondarily prophet. Thirdly teacher. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing. And then ministry of helps. Government. Diversities of tongues. Now, I want you to notice there, he set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments. See, the folks that you've got here on the board, they're working with government to steer the thing. Pastors working at it. That's, how many know that's government? Government, a lot of folks said, I don't like no government. I don't like this, I don't like that. Well, it's not a matter of what we like, it's what is in the Bible here. See, we need to get the Bible and see what helps. How many knows what a gift of ministry of helps is? That's to help one another. Help the church. Help the leader. Help. Now, he goes back in the 29 and he hits the one, are all apostles. Everybody likes to start at the top. Huh? How many knows if you start at the top, you only got one way to work, and that's down. Huh? Anytime you see somebody comes and starts at the top, they always work down. But you start at the bottom. You know, it says somewhere in the Bible, said, you know, if when you come to church, don't sit right up on the front. It said if you sit in the back, somebody will invite you up front. When I preach revivals, you know where I always sit before I preach? I sit in the back. You know why I do that? I feel humble. I feel humility. And I don't want to be up there facing the crowd before I preach. I'm a peculiar duck when you really get to know me. You'd call me an oddball. Huh? I go around meditating half the time. She knows when I'm buried in that thought, don't bother me. I'm walking around the house meditating. I'm studying my Bible when I'm meditating. I'm quoting scriptures to myself. Meditate. Working in the gifts of the Spirit. Riving up the power. Come on. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? No. He doesn't say one was given one something else. See, God don't dump it all on one person and leave you out. Get in there and seek what God wants you to do. Have all gifts of the healing. Do all speak with tongues. Do all interpret. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I thee a more excellent way. And if you go to the next chapter, he'll tell you the excellent way. Charity, love. When we graduate into that, we really have it made. Love. Love, the love of God. You know, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of authority, and he also judges the same procedure. When he is come, speaking of the Holy Ghost, he'll reprove the world of what? Of sin. Of what's the next thing? Of righteousness and judgment. See, it's all a reproof. 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 Over and over. Reproof. 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 You know, we have to reprove ourselves to each other. Shame, but it is, ain't it? Reprove ourselves over and over and over. Because there's always somebody that's going to drag down something. Whatever it's found,